Hello, welcome home. No, welcome back to Uncover Girl, the show that uncovers the most iconic celebrity profiles of all time and reads them so you don't have to. My God, what a week. What a week it has been. If you listen to the Patreon, you know that I have been screaming from the rooftops that I've been chronicling this shit for months on there, and it's all finally come to a head. And when I say it all, I mostly mean the Alex Cooper versus Alex Earl stuff. It's kind of crazy. For those subscribers, you can really chart it from the beginning. For those who don't subscribe, I would go and head over there. Patreon.com/UncoverGirl. It's also in the show notes if you just want to click through. But I've been talking about it for a while. I have had intel on it for a while, just from the streets out here. And yeah, there's a lot there. There's a lot that hasn't been said. What a wild ride. The podcast world is reeling. The influencer world is reeling. The blondes are shaking. It's just, I mean, I don't think we've seen anything like this since, God, when have we had blonde on blonde crime quite like this? I don't know. It's something to behold. And it's really captured the imagination, I feel like, of a lot of the internet. To see Jack Schlossberg comment on it, I mean, come on. Dave Portnoy is running to the beach with that chair. He cannot stay away from the ocean. And he needs to really get offline, I feel like. It's all-consuming for him. But it will be coming next week in a full breakdown, which is why I don't want to get into it too much. For those of you who are kind of not up to date or feeling confused or just like, how did this start and where is it going? I would head to the Patreon in the meantime. Otherwise, wait till next week. We're going to have an expert on who's going to do the whole thing. And I will also be covering my profile with Alex Cooper from a few years back. And a quick kind of NB on that is that it was, I think, her first big profile. We got scooped, I think, by New York Mag that came out a couple weeks before mine. And the backstory was, I interviewed her for The Guardian, turned in the article, and my editor had been laid off. And then when they replaced my editor, the new person that I was assigned to just did not get it, did not get her, thought she was just kind of a very basic, they just dismissed her as like a basic sex and relationships host and did not take her seriously. And for that reason, The Guardian kind of like dropped the story and let it go. And then I pitched it all around to, I think at the time, like Vanity Fair, definitely Vogue, who all rejected the story. Finally, LA Times took it, and that's why I think it ended up running a couple weeks after her New York Mag profile. But it was super early on, and that kind of gives you an idea of how few people were really on it and how quickly she's risen. The fact that like from then to now, she's interviewed, from 2022 to 2026, she's interviewed Kamala Harris and created a media empire and has a beverage brand. Like, it's kind of insane. Not to mention she has multiple shows right now. She has Unwell Winter Games that is playing out on YouTube, as well as Love Overboard, hosted by Gabby Windey on Hulu. So it's kind of like an insane trajectory for absolutely anyone. And if you want to get into the minutiae of what she's kind of been accused of, that's all on the Patreon. And again, these are allegations that I've heard. There's no proof. These are sources that have all come to me individually with similar stories. And then with the Alex v. Alex, I heard from a reputable source from a while back what may have transpired there. But again, it's hearsay. Take it with a grain of salt. But you'll find that on the Patreon. And yeah, more to come next week. This episode, this one's for the Bravo girls and also for the non-Bravo initiated. You know, like, you don't have to be a Bravo fan to really appreciate what has gone down. I have a lot of people in my life that are like, I'm coming to this whole thing, to this drama for the first time as a non-Summer House fan, as someone who's never watched reality television or a Bravo show, period. And that is really interesting. Like, I have a friend, Eklene, she's been on the show before, and she is really fascinated by it because of someone who has lived in New York for a long time and has dated someone very similar to the man involved in the story, the the number one perpetrator, if you will. She's like, this is just such classic New York behavior and New York man behavior. And I'm like, you're damn right. But before we get into all of that, just a quick check-in. How are you feeling? Because my God, it's been a doozy, I feel like, of a spring. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I don't really know where to put my energy, I think, is the thing. What's inspiring me is, first of all, eBay. But eBay always inspires me. That's nothing new. Making offers, bargaining, finding deals. What's been my most exciting purchase, you ask? Probably another freaking sequin bra. Probably a pair of Jessica Simpson pumps, which, if you've heard that they're extraordinarily comfortable, the best things on the market, you'd be right. They are absolutely fabulous. I heard from a friend of mine that knows Jessica or is like working with her that she is like, she has put all her money, like she's like remortgaged her house or something. God, I actually don't know if this is like okay to say, but whatever, we're saying it, that she is like putting all her resources back into buying her brand. I think she sold it and she wants to really reinvest in taking back the power of Jessica Simpson and taking the reins. And I think there could not be a better time. It's been going viral again recently because of how good a product Jessica Simpson shoes are. And like, I have to stand by that. I went to a wedding recently in Cabo, wore these goddamn heels every single night except the night of the wedding. The night of the wedding, worst night of my life with my feet. Terrible night, really brutal. Had to take my shoes off, was barefoot for most of it because of that. And that's not a place I want to be. And I'm not a bitch. Like, I really will. I won't pussy out quickly, you know, I'll really fight to the bitter end with the heels. And the fact that I had to give up like that purely because of the luxurious treatment that Jessica Simpson heels had given me the prior two nights. And I just was like, well, now I just don't have the stamina that I've had based on, yeah, the experience of the Jessica Simpson heels. It's just, they are so good. So basically I've bought like another like two or three pairs. I'll give you the dirty details. They're not selling for like over $30. Like you can get them down. I think the highest I paid was $25. Like that is really what I'm talking. Like they are such good value on resale and just a genius shoe. I don't know what they do to the foot, but they're really fabulous. I've never had anything like them. I wish I knew about them sooner. So I highly recommend. I think, speaking of savings and being bargaining in this economy, I also have an announcement to make. I'm finally saying a sweet farewell to my very expensive luxury gym. It's been 2 years at this extraordinarily high-priced gym. It's $350 a month with a $350 initiation fee. It's a lot. It does have a rooftop pool. It does have a pool. Okay, who am I? Kath and Kim. It does have a rooftop pool. It does have a co-working space. It is gorgeous. It's always made me feel, and yes, and you'll always see an influencer there. There's going to be a Harry Jowsey. There's going to be like the guy from Heated Rivalry, Ilya. Now I'm forgetting his name in real life. But you're going to see like a famous person, Kaya Gerber, whatever. Beautiful. Everything is gold-toned. Stunning Reform Pilates. There's something about it that's always made me feel a little uncomfortable. And I get the same feeling when I'm at kind of like a really nice hotel, especially if I'm there like on a press trip or something. And I just have always identified it kind of more with, this is going to sound insane, but like the working people, like I kind of feel like I should be the one like serving and not the one receiving the other side of the treatment. And that has always been how I've felt at that gym. Like if I'm sitting by the pool and someone comes over and they're like, hey, can I get you a beverage? I feel insane. Like it actually doesn't make me feel normal or comfortable. And seeing a Tuesday afternoon of everyone just tanning, it's really bizarre. I don't know. I just feel kind of crazy. Not that that is my experience. I end up just kind of using the gym and that's it. And then I really can't justify the price of like a $350 expense just to use a barbell every week. So I'm now going to LA Fitness. Now that I think is the problem, and that's a real gap in the market, is that there's no kind of mid-priced gyms. There's nothing really in like the, I think the 150, 180 mark. It's either like, yeah, it's $400 a month. It's like Equinox is like 290, 280, I don't know. Or it's like LA Fitness, which is like, I think now 80. There's just no in between. So if anyone wants to really fill that gap, I'd appreciate it, because look, does LA Fitness not smell great? Totally. Are the dumbbells never stacked in their correct marked position? Of course not. You're always going to find an 85 dumbbell in the 35 holder. It's the cross to bear that you're paying for that price. But I feel like, you know, it's never going to be perfect. That's what you get. And they've introduced Reformer. Can you believe that? Kind of insane. For $80 a month, you get the gym and like Reformer, like one a day. That feels like a great deal. They have a dry sauna. Now I'm just the GM of LA Fitness, just promoting the gym, just like laying out for you the initiation fee and the full special. No, I was just really impressed, honestly. I was like, this is really nice. So anyway, this is my new life. We'll see how long it lasts. We'll see if I cave and go back to, you know, the experience I had before. Prior to Hymer, I was at Equinox. And so it's really like, I'm going up, I'm going down. But I'm hoping like with the freed funds, I'm going to do something extracurricular. I want to go back to my roots. And when I say roots, I mean my childhood, wherein I did 60,000 activities outside of school. And who knows? I might be classically singing again, like I did the entirety of my youth, or, you know, acting, or I don't know. Who knows what I'll be doing? But maybe I will be dedicating the remainder of my hybrid money to self-improvement in some way. And that's, you know, that's all I can hope for. I mean, eBay can't be the only thing that keeps me warm at night. So that's what's inspiring me. And now to the business at hand, Summer House. Okay, brief overview. For those of you who are not familiar with the show, it's boring. Like, it is boring. If I was to recommend an entry point Bravo show, it honestly wouldn't be this one, unless you don't like any drama, kind of any fighting, like you just kind of want a really easy background show to vacuum to, I would say, sure, try Summer House. My first rec would be Vanderpump Rules, one of the greatest shows of all time. And then maybe I would say try a Housewives franchise. Summer House, actually, no, I think I would say do a Southern Charm. Yeah, I'd go Vanderpump, then Southern Charm, then Housewives. That may be controversial. I'm sorry to anyone out there listening. Summer House is about a group of, you know, adults, like quite like not young adults, like in mid-30s, late 20s through late 30s New Yorkers, who on the weekends share a house in the Hamptons together. They drive out every weekend and they party. It's based on a real group of friends who, I guess, I don't know if they pitched the show to Bravo or what happened, but yeah, they split a house out in the Hamptons because they're so damn expensive. And every weekend they would drive out and party. That's the premise of the show. Now, because they're like a real group of friends and they're not diabolical and kind of poor in the same way that the Vanderpump Rules cast was, it's really not as dramatic, naturally as dramatic as some of the other shows. That's totally fine. You're going to just see drinking and debauchery. The formula is that they always have kind of a party on Saturday that they invite randoms to. I've heard that you can go if you have access to the random partyful or you happen to know one of the cast members. But over time, they have introduced more random cast members. I think the only kind of entry point is that you slightly know someone on the existing cast, or you're recommended by someone of the existing cast, or maybe the producers are just straight up casting randoms. But usually you come in with a friend. This happened a couple of seasons ago with Wes Wilson and his friend Jesse Solomon. Now, Wes Wilson is a social media producer or whatever, a guy in marketing who works at Complex. He is kind of a guy who's a dime a dozen in New York City. He's white. He loves urban culture. He is a sports kind of bro. He post photo dumps with carefully curated memes in the middle of them. That's who Wes Wilson is. When he entered the summer house with his like BFF or his friend or whatever, he immediately took a liking to one of the most beautiful women who I think is on television right now. Like, not just Bravo, like one of the most beautiful women who is currently on screen, period. Her name is Sierra Miller. She is from Atlanta, Georgia. She is a nurse, or she was a nurse, a part-time nurse, and was a nurse when she came on the show. Also, by the way, the whole point of the show is that they have to be kind of normal. Like, they have to have a normal job. Kind of the same way, like, The Bachelor operates. They really love you to not just be a content creator, an actor, a model. Like, they don't want that. The whole concept works under the guise of like, these are normal people who like to have fun. We know that they're there to get famous and to ultimately like raise their profile and social capital to solicit brand deals. We know that. But we like the illusion that they are, I don't know, software engineers who like to party on the weekends. That's all well and good. So Sierra, when she first came on the show, was legitimately a nurse. She worked through the pandemic as a nurse in Georgia and then also as a model because she's so beautiful. And she was brought into the summer house by a guy that she was seeing. His name is Luke. And ironically, he's now running for Congress. My God, the Bravo universe really extends. So Sierra is kind of something of a summer house veteran. Wes Wilson comes onto the scene, meets Sierra, and is immediately like, you. And of course, she's so hot. He is, how do I describe him? Kind of like a block of cheddar cheese, I would say. He's kind of, he's a stocky build. He's certainly shorter. He's a former college football player. He's mustached and blonde and mulleted. And wears like kind of a napkin under a bucket hat. I feel like that is a really clear depiction of the guy that we're kind of dealing with if you're not familiar with him. Sierra is a beautiful, tall, waif-like black woman with the biggest natural rack anyone's ever seen. Imagine just like a tall, willowy stick figure with massive tits and you've got Sierra. It's just kind of totally unfair. And when you say that God doesn't give with both hands, she is truly the exception. He just went, I'm just going to throw in a curveball, and this is her. So that's her. There's another couple in the house who has been together a very long time. Their names are Amanda Batula and Carl Cook. They are kind of the reigning, or I would say the longest lasting couple that exists on Summer House. Kyle was one of like the founding members of the house, and he brought Amanda in the early seasons as his girlfriend. Their relationship has been plagued by toxicity the entire length of the show. Cheating allegations on his part. He's also just partier numero uno, just such a party boy, has gone on to launch like an alcohol beverage brand called Loverboy. And they are constantly at odds because she's like, I need you to party less. And he's just like, I won't. So there's just there's just no way it works. She's also someone who likes to stay in TM, and he is someone who can't be tamed TM and like really likes to go out. He has now launched a DJ career. He is also in his early 40s. She is 10 years younger. That really just like paints the picture. So their relationship is constantly plagued by contention. The summer leading up to their wedding, which was also documented on the show, it was like, are they even going to make it down the aisle? There is so much shit that's happening in their relationship. That's just always the situation. This past summer in particular has been particularly tough, and we're seeing this play out on our screens right now. Like, it's the current season airing, because their relationship is definitively on the rocks. Amanda is the most confident she's ever been. She's also had like kind of a physical glow up. She looks the best she's ever been. She is definitely feeling herself more than ever. And she is, I mean, very much over his shit. He is now a DJ. He seems to be gone a few nights of every week. And the house has really rallied around Amanda. Now, it's important to note that Sierra and Amanda, after spending summer after summer after summer in the house, are very, very close friends. And they lean on each other in a big way. Sierra has seen Amanda through so many ups and downs of her relationship with Kyle and continuously bolstered her up. I think it's also important to note, Amanda is a white woman. She's a white woman from a very wealthy enclave in New Jersey. And her plan was, after getting married to Carl, that they would move back to New Jersey and raise kids together. That obviously hasn't happened. They still live in the city, and he seems to have no intention of settling down. So Sierra has been there with Amanda through all of it. Through all of it. Such a force. And I mean, to see female friendship like this on screen has been, I mean, I think transformative for a lot of women, because you see Sierra just holding her in her arms and crying and being like, I wish you could see yourself the way I see you. You are so beautiful. You are so strong. You are so magnetic. Everyone around you wants to know you. Like, everyone gravitates towards you and loves you. And I wish that you understood that. And then you have Amanda saying, for my entire adult life, I've seen someone like Kyle, who she's with, her husband, and being like, that's the best I could do. That's the best I could do. That's Kyle and Amanda's relationship. Let's put that to the side for 1 second. So a couple of summers ago, West Wilson, complex social media editor, guy with mullet, chocolate, block of cheese, enters the house, meets Sierra, falls for her, pursues her relentlessly. Sierra makes it very clear, look, I'm not someone that's just going to like kind of get down. That's not who I am. I want a real relationship, and I'm not someone who like sleeps with someone out of a relationship. I just is like, these are my boundaries. These are my rules, blah, blah, blah. She says things like, I don't like text after 9 p.m. Like, she's quite stringent. I think by her own admission, she says, I'm rigid. Like, that's, she's strict. And he's kind of like, okay, I accept that. But he wears her down. The guy is like extraordinarily charismatic. I would love to understand what his effect is in person, because I feel like the aura must be exceptional to understand like how he pulls the women that he does. The summer ends with the two of them pretty much in a relationship. I think he asked her to be his girlfriend. He introduces her to his family. I think she goes home for Thanksgiving, goes to a wedding with him, the whole nine, and then basically says, JK, I can't commit because he's suddenly getting a lot of attention, female attention specifically, because the primary demographic of Bravo is female. And he's like, I want to really ride this wave. He goes and does a huge profile in the New York Times and is kind of like, yeah, like, I just feel like I got in too deep too fast. It was like not meant to be with Sierra. That hurts her deeply. It's all a bit of a shit show. He comes back for the following summer, very much in the dog box. And here we are a full summer later, and we're watching it play out on our screens. And it's looking like they might rekindle that summer 2025 that we're now watching. Amanda is there again for all of it, on the other side of it, watching Sierra go through this with West, being a shoulder for her to cry on, being like, fuck, like, he's just one of those guys that just uses and abuses you and just throws you away, and you don't deserve that. And she is very much in Sierra's corner and being like, damn, like, this really sucks. I'm so sorry. Sierra is devastated and crying. And at the same time, Amanda is watching this romance perhaps reignite, like, this past summer after kind of a year or two of like iciness. It's like thawing out, and she's seeing a possible friendship bloom again with Wes and Sierra. Okay, so that's what, where are we now? April, 8 months ago, whatever, last August. Okay. The summer ends last year. Rumors began that Kyle and Amanda have separated. At the beginning of this year, they put out a joint statement that they've divorced. It seems relatively amicable, or that they're filing for divorce, sorry, that they're like, they're officially over. And after 10 years of being together, like, this is significant Bravo news. The reaction from fans is, I mean, overwhelming. I mean, it's so, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 4 months ago. I mean, it was so memorable because you had people like being like, war is over, like spring is finally here, Amanda is free. Like, everyone was so celebratory on her behalf. It was like, she can finally live her best life. Kyle can be a DJ. Everyone is happy. They were so not meant to be together, and finally they can do their own thing, and this is perfect. This was the beginning of this year, right? In the meantime, and I don't know if this is officially true, but this is rumors, apparently Sierra and West were like quietly hooking up again over the past few months. So while Amanda and Kyle were getting a divorce, apparently Sierra and West like once again had found each other. He attended her birthday party. They went to the Super Bowl together. Photos of them there. That looks like it was back on. And they are now about to shoot the reunion for last season any day now. Like, it might have already been shot. It's around this time. That's all going on. About a month ago, a rumor emerges that Amanda, recently separated Amanda, still married Amanda, and West, Sarah's West, her friend's ex, are seeing each other, are sleeping together. Immediately, everyone is like, that is fucking crazy. I sent this to Chris and Chris was like, no, that's crazy. There's no way. This was, I think, in February of this year, this came out on like Dumois or something. Everyone was like, believe it when I see it. This is publicity for this season of the show. This is like the dumbest thing ever. Like, are we supposed to believe this? This is so stupid. Kyle Cook went on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, Kyle, Amanda's now, you know, ex-husband, and or like current, still current husband, and was like, it would be, that would be insane if that had any truth to it. Like, that's just so dumb. There's no way. Imagine like who would do that to their friend, like Sierra, right? Like, there's just no way. And like, it would be shitty to do to me on the behalf of like West, because West is also his friend. But like, Amanda doing that to Sierra, like when she's had to like watch her cry over this guy. There's no way. There's no way. That's the kind of take. And then West goes and Watch What Happens Live and says, yeah, I mean, there's been rumors about Amanda with like other guy. Like, I'm not the first guy people have said this kind of stuff about. Like, people have been saying this stuff, right? It's a weird denial because he's not outright being like, it's not true. He's simply saying, yeah, these things fly around. He could have said, that's absolutely ridiculous and fundamentally untrue. And like, I'm so happy to have this platform to say how dumb that is. There is no way in hell either of us would do that. That's not what he says. He says, she's very important to me. She's a very close friend of mine. And these rumors have emerged with her and other people. That's what he said. It's interesting. On, I think, April 1st of this year, the two of them, after rumors can persist, put out a joint statement. Actually, you know what? Let's read it. Should we read it? Okay. We've seen the growing online speculation. So while this is still very new, we wanted to provide some clarity. It was never our intention to purposely hide anything, given the complicated relationship dynamics involved and the scrutiny that comes with being on a reality television show. We needed a little space to process things privately before speaking on it. By the way, this is a joint statement shared to both of their Instagram stories, and they are not an official couple, right? We've shown up for each other as friends over the years through all the highs and lows, and what's developed recently was the last thing either of us expected. Our connection grew out of a genuine, long-standing friendship which made it especially important for us to approach this with care. As our feelings evolved, we wanted to take time to understand exactly what we were feeling. We also recognized that this had an impact beyond just us and never wanted our actions to cause any hurt or be perceived as careless. We truly appreciate the understanding and respect as we navigate this. As we navigate the situation at hand, right? Now, immediately in the comments, people were saying, this is an April Fool's joke. Like, this can't be real. She's not even divorced. This is crazy, right? And like, who would do this to their best friend? This has to be an April Fool's joke. But no, immediately someone snapped a photo of Sierra in the street, clearly receiving the statement in real time. I think she came out and said she got like an hour's heads up. Like it wasn't a lot that this news was coming out, and she's collapsed on the street with her manager. Like she is keeled over in the middle of like West Village or something. And that immediately hits page six. It's all go. Everyone is, I mean, it's an incredibly bad look. You now have like a weird love square. It's an absolute shit show. And yeah, I guess she was on the way to meet lunch and she just collapsed reading this statement. So this is all necessary background because no one has come out and said a real word about this other than this statement. And now we have seen West and Amanda really gallivanting about town. She did post something on her story being like, hey, I'm going to try and resume my life with some normalcy for the sake of my mental health. And then she stepped out with a scarf on at a bar with West, and she was at a Yankees game tugging on his pants in the stands and kissing him and stuff. So that's back to normal. But Sierra did a cover story with Glamour, a beautiful shoot, and her sit-down interview with Hunter Harris, who is my age. We kind of came up in journalism the same time. She worked at Vulture when I worked at Paper. She's a great journalist. Really handled this with incredible care. I don't think she was a Summer House veteran, is what I can gauge from her Substack. So she had to catch up pretty quick. And this is really well done. So the headline reads, Sierra Miller will let the universe handle it. She didn't rush to post. She didn't spiral online. But when your close friend and your ex go public, what's done in the dark doesn't stay there. It opens like this. When Sierra Miller turned 30 at the end of 2025, she and some friends did an intention setting exercise that involved choosing a single word to live by for the year ahead. Miller's word was community. In the months that followed, that community didn't just contract, it rearranged itself without her. If you've ever said new year, new me, you need new me. New me hair. Seriously. The best hair care brand I've used, and I've used a lot because my hair is big. If you've ever seen me, you know my hair it's thick, it's long, it's unruly. I've also stopped using keratin, so like now it's gotten worse. It's like really, really hard. We're in tough times. And these tools actually like half the styling time. Specifically the Signature hair dryer, you need this. It has like negative ions which break down the water molecules faster. This is science. Super, super quick. And I pair it with the Clout Control. Clout Control is crazy. It's not just like heat activated, but it also like defends against humidity. So it like locks in your hair cuticles and stops it from frizzing, whether you're just blow drying it, straightening it, or just like stepping out into any kind of environment. It is so fundamental. If you want to really kind of take it to the next level, there's also the brushes, the ion brushes. Unbelievable. I'm not very good at using round brushes, but it's actually very kind of dummy friendly. I mean, game changing. You've got to use the Signature hair dryer with Clout Control and then like use the Ioniq round brushes to just kind of like get that full blowout. I'm talking 90s supermodel blowout. You know what? Cindy Crawford, Claudia Schiffer, need I go on? You're going to get that Versace look. That is what New Me Hair does. And you can get 15% off with the code UNCOVER. UNCOVER. You don't even need me to spell it for you. I know you're literate. UNCOVER. Me not even able to spell it. UNCOVER. Uncover your best hair yet. That's New Me Hair. This is like one of the most confrontational ads yet. No, seriously. It does like amazing things for my hair. It's the best tools I've ever used. NewMeHair.com. 15% off with the code UNCOVER. Get the best hair you've ever had. After weeks of rumors, two of Miller's closest housemates on Bravo's 9-year-old Hampton set reality show Summer House, her close friend Amanda Batula and her ex-situationship Wes Wilson, confirmed fan speculation that they were now in a relationship. We've shown up for each other as friends over the years through all the highs and lows, and what's developed recently was the last thing either of us expected, they wrote in matching statements posted to their Instagram stories. In 2026, the idea of reality stars dating within their own orbit is less a twist and more the premise. Summer House has had a long history of romantic overlap, with housemate exes continuing to hang out through breakups. But in this case, the surprise isn't the pattern, it's the proximity. And Hunter goes on to use examples in the celebrity world, like Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco. Like, I don't know if her examples really make total sense, because they don't actually reflect the closeness of the group at hand. I saw someone compare the group to the show Friends, and that actually, it's the best example I've seen. It would be like if Ross and Rachel broke up. It would actually be like kind of what happened if Ross and Rachel broke up and then when Rachel started dating Joey, or Ross and Rachel broke up and Ross started dating Phoebe. It would kind of be like that. Like, that's the kind of level of betrayal. Or let's think of another one. Like, maybe with like New Girl, it's Nick and Jess breaking up and then, oh man, that's a tough one actually. Maybe New Girl's a bit hard. I'll come back to it. But it's really, it's how tightly woven the group is. It's not just breaking up with a partner and then dating someone's ex, your friend's ex. It's like the fact that they're all a group together, if that makes sense. Like, they're all hanging out together all the time. They're all friends. It's so twisted. So Miller says it's one thing to experience hurt behind closed doors. To experience it so publicly is like another layer. And then to see what you thought was your life still play out in season 10, it's a major mindfuck. 2 years ago, the 31-year-old Wilson, Wes Wilson, a sports journalist brought into the house, which I think is kind, brought into the house by Bravo ostensibly to shake things up, pursued Miller, a nurse and model, passionately all summer. Their natural banter gave way to something more. Miller is a self-described slow burn, which made what they had a pair more legitimate than a tipsy summer fling. And then after camera stopped, Wilson introduced her to his family and took her to a wedding. But what happens when men find themselves more famous is that he wasn't ready to commit. And in the two-part Summer House reunion in June 2024, the tensions were high between Miller and Wilson. And he became astonished by the level of vitriol he got from the fans following that reunion as they really turned on him. This is a really interesting part of the equation, and I think we're seeing this play out on screens right now. So I left this out of the earlier explainer, but Wes got a shit ton of hate from supporters of Sierra. And I think, like, also in the wake of this scandal, it has been very like Team Sierra, as it should be. But what has seemed to be building behind the scenes is like a very clear resentment, I think, for Sierra, who has emerged for sure the star, and everyone has kind of rallied around her. And it's very clear that people are having a hard time with West Wilson. And it's tough to gauge whether or not he was using her to stay on the show and to level up his own clout, or he had genuine, serious interest, or his interest only extended to sexual interest. Like, it's really hard to gauge the extent of his intentions, if that makes sense. But whatever, wherever he's at now, we're seeing like this weird kind of resentment manifest. And in the same vein, he doesn't kind of want anyone else to have her or to see her with anyone else. I mean, his close friend in the house that he came in with, Jesse, asks to make a move on her. He asks, hey, can I hook up with Sierra? Like, would you be okay with that? And he says, no, I wouldn't. That's a douchebag friend move. And yet this is what he goes on to do. And just to give you an idea of the fandom, because where this resentment would kind of marinate and stem from is the fact that, like, Bravo is extremely popular. Like, this is not just, you know, pop culture enthusiasts or housewives turning it on between feedings of their babies or whatever. You cannot reduce it to that. This is like Rihanna unfollowing Amanda Bertullo on Instagram. This is John Hamm going on Watch What Happens while he's promoting Your Friends and Neighbors and saying Team Sierra. This is Alana Haim being like, what the fuck is going on? These are A-list celebrities speaking out about the show and being just as involved. It's like reality television is no longer considered lowbrow. It's considered cultural anthropology, and everyone is involved and everybody has comment. People's husbands and boyfriends are talking about it like their favorite player just got traded from the freaking Rams to the Giants. I don't know. It's really like it has just captured the zeitgeist in a way that I don't think anyone could expect. Not since, I think, Scandoval on Vanderpump Rules, which was a cheating scandal, but not quite of this nature, because it was like that scandal involved three people. It was a long time secret and a long time relationship. And there's something about this that feels kind of like more insidious. And I honestly can't articulate why. Scandoval, you had a newer friend come in and sleep with someone's partner while they were still together. It's objectively fucked up. But I think we saw such close friendships play out for so many years and then just be totally disregarded, and that disrespect is really hard to watch. So to enter the conversation, Hunter Harris begins talking about being 30. How is it to be 30? How is Sierra Miller finding being 30? She's saying, look, I'm on Prozac, but it really hasn't been the smooth entry point that I would have imagined. Everyone says 30, it gets so much better, but I haven't found that quite yet. And then we dive in. She says, who are you closer to, West or Amanda? And Sierra basically says, look, West and I were working on our relationship. He came to my birthday dinner. Amanda didn't, but that's not because we weren't close. That's because she's the type of person who like likes to be invited and then doesn't necessarily like always show up to things. But she is the closer friend to me. She always has been. And that is how it is. It's always going to be how it is. West and I, she said, building our relationship back up again. We set boundaries, and one of those boundaries was no sleeping with people on Bravo. Obviously, now that's out the window, she says. At the end of the day, we were genuine friends, which I think is what made it so much more hurtful when everything kind of went south following our breakup, and why I needed to take time after. Hunter, the writer, says, do you think that Amanda is jealous of you? Jealousy is such a weird concept to me, Sierra says. I don't honestly know. I don't know. That's a question for her. What bonded you and Amanda initially? I'm trying to think back to my first summer in the house. Amanda just felt very calm, like a very calm spirit initially. She was someone I always felt comfortable talking to. She always felt like a non-judgmental figure to go to. And so Hunter then just has to be like, okay, well then who do you feel like has betrayed you more, West or Amanda? And this is, I think, what the pullout quote is. She says, at the end of the day, a guy's a guy. you kind of can't put anything past a man, but I would never think that this would come from someone like Amanda, who has been in what has felt like my circle and my corner for so long. I fought with you, your husband, to advocate for you. I have championed you. I have tried to be there in different ways for you and help you and get you to see the value in yourself. And to be so disregarded in such a disrespectful way is, honestly, it's, I'm at a loss for words sometimes, she says. That's her verbatim quote. So she is feeling like she was warned that in her 30s you shed friends and you gain clarity, and that is just like the nature of getting older, but she didn't think it was going to be this violent. Hunter says, how much notice did you get that Wes and Amanda were in a relationship and that they planned to post something on Instagram? She says, less than 24 hours. I got one notification about 45 minutes before. Hunter says, did you get to read that ahead of time? She said, I read it with the rest of the world. There's something about the lack of being able to say each other's names in the statement that I found very telling, but I don't know. And that's something I really didn't clock, and I don't think I would have. Here we get into something that has come up a few times on Summer House itself, and that is the racial intricacies that are at play in this specific situation and on Summer House specifically. So if anyone like hasn't gone to the Hamptons, it is so incredibly white. These beach cities, man, like San Diego or the Hamptons, it is really Newport Beach, Orange County. Like, I remember going out there for the first time from New York and just being so shocked at the lack of diversity and being like, this isn't real life. Like, this is so insane. And It really is a shock. And I can't even imagine what it must be like to be a person of color and be like, this, what the hell is this world? And for a long time, for many seasons, because Summer House is up to like season 10, it has been an all white cast. I think in around season 5, they introduced a Latina character, like maybe it was a little bit earlier, but it has mostly just been like a really, really white cast. And Sierra was the first black cast member to come on the show. Now they have 3 black cast members this most recent season, and that is the most diverse it's kind of ever got. And it's brought up conversations about the dynamics of race in the Hamptons and on the show and in the discourse around the show, because Sierra's like, I'm the one having a public interracial relationship with Wes, a white man, and I'm copping the flack of having him essentially like play me on national television. This is nothing to do with Amanda. This is just the fact that like Wes pursued her relentlessly, got what he wanted essentially in sleeping with her, and then was like, actually, I'm good. See ya. And she talks about like how devastating that was and the messages that she received of being like, how could you be so dumb and let a white man do you like that? And her whole point is basically like, you don't see me. Like, you don't see me enough to respect me. And I am someone that you have wanted enough and found attractive enough and found sexy enough to fuck, basically, but not compelling enough, intelligent enough, kind enough, whatever it may be. You're not proud enough to make me a partner. And for someone like West, who works at a predominantly like a company that caters to like a black consumer, like Complex is urban culture. It is a hip hop publication. It's just, man, this fucking chunk of cheese. Anyway, he drives me insane, if you couldn't tell. So this is something that Hunter obviously wants to address. She goes, watching this show, so many white people are uncomfortable talking about race. There's a scene in this season where you and KJ connect at the table over the double consciousness of being black and on camera. You talk about how your relationships are different, you're perceived differently, everything. I got emotional watching it. Do you think your housemates appreciated that conversation? Sarah says, it's funny what's shocking and surprising to them and what's not shocking and surprising to us. I think there's a lack of awareness of how people of color and black people have to move in this world, and it's not fucking fair. Growing up, my dad always said, the older you are, the blacker you get. You don't notice it when you're a kid, but the older you get, you'll start to notice the nuances of your relationships with people, how people treat you, how they value you, how they see or don't see you in a scenario. People can say it has nothing to do with race, but I think at the crux of it has everything to do with race. Why is it that I'm more disposable than another person? To never even have to consider how you move through the world is something that I can't even fathom. I don't know what that's like. I couldn't imagine what that's like, not even having to have those certain conversations. Hunter admits here that her entire dating life, men have called her intimidating. And she says, it's hard. Dating interracially is a whole other layer. Sierra adds, the nuances of interracial dating and how much of a mindfuck it can be. Not only do you have to figure out who this person fucking voted for, you have to figure out like, okay, you're attracted to me. You like me, but do you like people that look like me? Because I'm just one person, but would you really advocate for all of us? That to me is important and vital because I don't want to be an exception to your rule at all. Watching season 8, Hunter says, for that first party at the house, the friends that West invited were black. Do you think that made him more attractive to you? She says, I think in the beginning, to know that a person is interculturally mixed with a lot of different types of people is reassuring. When I date white guys and they only have white friends, that to me is scary. It's nice when you're dating a white guy and they have black friends and they have friends that look different from them. We were able to have productive and really great conversations when we were together. And that definitely led me to feeling a lot safer in that relationship when I was with West. Here's the thing. I mean, we're at the crux of it now. The fact that West has publicly claimed, whether or not they're in an exclusive relationship or not, him and Amanda, that he has publicly claimed in the statement this white woman from Jersey and wouldn't claim Sierra is very telling and also so predictable. It's just incredibly disappointing. And I think it plays into Sierra's whole thesis that you're not taken seriously as a black woman, or you are allowed to be sexualized and stereotyped, but you're not allowed to be, you know, you're the whore, you're not the Madonna, you're the side piece, not the main woman, not the wifey. And like, it's just, it's disappointing. Like, disappointing is the word, that we're like watching this on television, that's the media that we're consuming, because it's like reflecting real life, right? She talks about the fact that like, as black women, you're constantly over-sexualized, and she is someone who considers herself a massively slow burn, and people still think that she sleeps with everyone because she just wears bikinis on television, because they're on a summer show where they're swimming all the time. And it's really, yeah, you're not given the freedom to have any duality, right? It's tough. It's really tough. Hunter says, you get a lot of grief, I think unfairly, for your taste in men. I think it's also important to note here that she has dated another guy from Southern Charm, from the Bravo universe, who is also just, same situation as West. Austin is his name. He is one of these guys where you just don't understand how he does as well as he does. This isn't my personal opinion, okay? I just cannot wrap my mind on how these guys pull. Maybe my standards for looks are through the roof. I mean, I do need to like make a point here that on the East Coast, and specifically in New York, you are seeing the most beautiful women you have ever seen in your life with fives, with rats that have been pulled out of the drain. It is that, I've said it once, I've said it many, many times, it is so unfortunate. And these rats that have been pulled out of the drain develop these enormous egos because they think they can always level up to the next best thing, because there's just abundance of women who are so beautiful and they can absolutely thrive. They can just have their pick of the litter because there are so few of them. There's got to be, I don't think, I've got to know the statistics here. There's got to be a gender disparity. There's got to be inequality, because how the hell are they doing it? I will say, out here in LA, beautiful men, not always the brightest bulbs. There is also a lot of money in New York, and maybe that is making up for the massive inequity when it comes to looks. But it is it's unbelievable to walk down the street and see the toads with the princesses. Sierra also dated a guy who I would consider not at all worthy of her. And obviously, I'm not the only one to make that, to have that opinion. And Hunter says, you get a lot of grief for your taste in men. And she's like, I do feel like I get a lot of grief for dating people. But here's the thing. I've only technically dated these two guys publicly. And for people to make a really roundabout statement about my taste based on these two people is annoying and frustrating. I'm trying to figure out dating. If I were a fucking expert, don't you think I'd probably be married? I'm not. Why do we have to put this pressure on young women like it's our fault for not seeing who this person is immediately? Both of these guys, by the way, are like fuckboys refusing to settle down, eternal bachelor type. So I think that's the other part of it. It's our fault for having bad taste in men when men often present themselves as one way for the first 3 months and then end up being someone completely different. The interview concludes with just how popular Summer House has become and how monstrous this scandal has grown. I mean, it's reached pretty much everyone. Amanda lost kind of a brand deal over it. Zoran Mandani was asked about it on the street, like who he's supporting. Like I said, Rihanna was like unfollowing left and right, showing her allegiance. Sierra gained 300,000 followers and appeared on the red carpet, like interviewing Sydney Sweeney and talking about best friends dating your exes. Like it's been big. And they end there. And I think it's just, I mean, look, everyone knows that Sierra is only going to rise after this. I mean, she is going to reach heights that are unprecedented. She's going to have the Ariana Maddox treatment. She's going to host Love Island USA. It's going to be huge. It's been really funny to watch how close Amanda Bartula was to having the same experience. She was really queued up after this Kyle Cook divorce to have, she was on the precipice of having the same takeover. She had a Marie Claire interview. It was going to be a huge moment for her, and it's all come crashing down with this relationship. We haven't even really got into the Amanda of it all. People are calling her pick me final boss because she threw her friendship away. And I think the amicability with her ex-husband to chase after like one of her castmates, it's really odd and concerning. And you just have to believe it's because she's insecure and she wanted to prove to herself that she could get him, the guy that the most beautiful woman on television couldn't get. She's just that girl, you know? She's like that girl in high school or college that you didn't want to tell your crush to because you were fearful that she would just like go after them. It's that, you know? Anyway, that's my two cents, but it's just been a really fascinating thing to watch because it doesn't at all feel foreign. In fact, it feels painfully normal and obvious and common. It feels so commonplace. And I think that's why everyone assumed it was an April Fool's joke, because it just felt far too ordinary for people to do something like this. It was like, surely people wouldn't be so boring. And in fact, they were. And like also just dumb, right? Like really threaten your future over something so dumb. Man, that's it. That's everything. That is the whole show. I hope I explained that effectively. I hope you enjoyed the ride. Like it's such an interesting world. Reality television, man. I mean, don't count it out. To be on the inside of the scandal, to have really like cut your teeth on a show and then be in the trenches when something like this breaks and be telling your friends the ins and outs of it. God, there's nothing like it. It is a rush. No amount of Molly can bring you close to this kind of euphoria. Like it is really something special. And I'd highly recommend, if you haven't stepped into Bravo yet, Vanderpump Rules season 1, can't recommend it enough. It's goddamn spectacular television. Like I said, we'll be getting into the Alex Cooper of it all next week. If you want to have all the tea ahead of time, you can subscribe to the Patreon. The link is in the show notes. Or it's just patreon.com/uncovergirl. In the meantime, I hope you have the best week ever. I'm sending you all the love, the forehead kisses, squeezing you from afar. And just know that I wish I could share a summer house with you all. Goodbye. Gorgeous, sexy, hot, intellectual. Did I say sexy? I goes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Uncover Girl. Please rate and review the podcast. Any bad publicity is good publicity, but my ego is also fragile, so compliments would be much preferred. If you want to get deeper under the covers, subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl for bonus episodes and content, or you can follow us at Uncover Girl Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. DM us your inspiration or anything at all. I just want to hear from you. We'll see you next Tuesday. Mwah!
IP Vanish protects every device you own, your phone, your laptop, your smart TV. If it connects to the internet, it should be protected. IP Vanish encrypts your connection and masks your IP address, helping keep your browsing private at home and on public Wi-Fi. And with no device limits, one account covers everything. Stream with added privacy. Browse securely. Connect with confidence. Right now, save 83% off the 2-year plan. Get started today at ipvanish.com/audio. And take control of your privacy with IP Vanish. IP Vanish protects every device you own, your phone, your laptop, your smart TV. If it connects to the internet, it should be protected. IP Vanish encrypts your connection and masks your IP address, helping keep your browsing private at home and on public Wi-Fi. And with no device limits, one account covers everything. Stream with added privacy. Browse securely. Connect with confidence. Right now, save 83% off the 2-year plan. Get started today at ipvanish.com/audio and take control of your privacy with IP Vanish.